For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit TFormers.com. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Wreck, Bweebum, featuring XV.
Hey people, this is Radio Free Cybertron, and I am your host, Brian Kilby. Yes, the Brian Kilby, that one. The one who was a famous triathlete from the 1950s. He's here to save the day.
Really?
I have my own Wikipedia article. No.
You've aged awesome. Well.
Well, no, I don't.
You do?
No. There's a Brian Kilby on Wikipedia that's not me. Oh. Someday there will be a disambiguation page about Brian Kilby, and then there will be two articles about Brian Kilby. But
who knows? Kilby could be a common enough name that there'd be somebody else named Brian Kilby.
There's about 30 of us in North America. Yeah.
Of us.
Brian, you should have just let people think that you were.
I was a famous runner in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. Great.
Well, if you do a Google image search for you, most of the first hits are you.
Yeah, buddy. Because I'm like the biggest internet whore, Brian Kilby, that there is.
I like the photo of you in front of Movie Optimus Prime.
Let me do that. Awesome. Google image search. I'm afraid to do that.
It's on Flickr. It is.
I'm surprised
awesome.
One of them is not you eating that chicken wing.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, yes. But this is Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers Internet radio show, one of the world's first podcasts, the official podcast of TFormers.com. And, again, it's pretty awesome. With me, we have XV, John DeLuna, Amy, a.k.a. Lady Wreck, and Peter Van, also known in some circles as Bweebum. J.D. Church is on the dark side of the moon right now, so.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, in Oklahoma. So, actually, total aside, we were talking about this in the pre-show, but there was an earthquake on the East Coast yesterday, and, I almost felt it, so I'm a little shaken up right now, a little nervous, because I'm afraid that we'll get an aftershock, so if we happen to get an aftershock during the show, you'll
tell us about it live.
Yes, woo-hoo! Exactly, so we're on day one of the aftershock wait, so...
It's over.
Yeah, it's over. Yes.
It was fantastic, though.
It was interesting. It's the only. I'm certain it's the only one that I will ever experience in my whole life.
I experienced one a couple of years ago. There was a small earthquake in, southern Illinois or southern Indiana, and it reached just far enough that I thought something fell over in the next room.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Awesome.
Oh, it was absolutely unmistakable where I was. It was like... The plants were swaying, and
that's impressive.
Yeah, it was enough that we all figured out what it was. We're like, there's only one thing that could happen. I mean, it was either a lot of bombs, or because I am in DC, so there's a chance.
It was either a lot of bombs or your mom fell over.
Right. Well, yeah. At first I thought it was some person, some really big guy, just like. Running and just down the hall,
Yeah, I work with a guy that's big enough where I call him a really big guy, and I thought that he might have fallen, so.
Yeah, that's what it felt like at first, and then I was like, nope, this is lasting longer than 2 seconds.
Yeah, really interesting, so that was pretty cool. So, lots of stuff going on this week. We can get into the news. We also have comic news with Lady Wreck later on. Crave Corner. We have a new contest that I wanted to talk about. We're talking about the newest episode of Transformers Primed in history, Twitter theater, and all that stuff. And for the people listening to the podcast version, we are going to have auto assembly coverage from our pals at Old Oil House. So cool. That will be in the show. If you're watching the video on YouTube or watching live, check out the podcast version at tfradio.net later on, and we'll have that on there. So let's go ahead and get to the news. Collectors Club Timelines Issue 6, the Stunicon job, to include additional 16 pages of AllSpark Almanac addendum content. That's pretty sweet.
What?
Yep.
That is pretty sweet.
Unfortunately, the announcement of that yesterday was a little overshadowed by the earthquake happening 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
now that you're talking about the AllSpark Almanac, Jim Sorensen is in the chat room.
Ah, that's awesome.
Yay.
Yay, Jim. Yeah. Oh, there's Jim. Yes, so that's great. Yeah, actually, that was our first news item, Jim. We love Jim. So,
and the AllSpark Almanac.
And the AllSpark Almanac. Actually, I'm going to mention the AllSpark Almanac later on in the show, too. Not that I'm just doing it because Jim's in the chat, but the topic this week...
it helps.
It's because you're a horse.
Yeah, no, the topic this week is Transformers merchandise, and I consider that merchandise, so...
Oh, it is. It's very good.
Yes, so next item, because there's still some people whose money they didn't get the first time, Dark of the Moon returns to IMAX in the U.S. between August 26th and September 8th. Now, I'll be honest. I saw it the first time in IMAX 3D, and it was gorgeous. So if you want to experience it one more time, the way it was meant to be seen, go see it.
I think experiencing it once was enough for me.
I watched it twice, maybe three times, I think, at this point. I really enjoyed it, so... I mean, and that's, you know, we had a whole discussion on that, but I would really like to see it in IMAX 3D again.
Well, you probably can.
Yes, I probably will. So, very nice. Okay, so, Peter, did you put this in? Because you want to tell us about this, the Prime-style sweepstakes?
Oh, that wasn't me.
Oh, I assumed that it was. So, you want to tell us about the... No. Go ahead.
No, I don't know anything about it.
Okay. So, Prime Style Sweepstakes, get $20 worth of Transformers merchandise for spending $20 on TF merchandise. Qualifying $20 or greater purchases can send in to receive a Dark of the Moon t-shirt, Optimus Prime, Creon, and a $5 coupon through January 31st, 2012. See T-Formers for full details. I'll be honest, I'm not familiar with that news item. But I'm checking out T-Formers right now. Let me bring that up.
It is a Hasbro promotion.
It's kind of like a supercharge your gift card thing from the end of last year.
Gotcha. Okay, I thought it was.
But in this case, sending in your form also enters you to win something or other. But what's important here is the $5 coupon that's good through January.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. Love that.
Because you'll probably be buying $20 worth of Transformers merchandise anyway, so...
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Okay, so to digress, I just got a video chat request from our friend Trax on Facebook, so...
Of course.
Yes, of course. I love Trax!
Wait, who uses Facebook chat?
Which, it's Skype. I mean, you know.
No, this is a genuine question.
That's true. So, sorry, long story. People watching the show or listening to the podcast, Trax is our resident friend / troll in the chat. We are Facebook friends, and we actually talk quite a bit, and he is constantly wanting on the show. So, no.
Who doesn't want on the show?
But I love him. I really do. He reminds me of a young me. XV just raised his hand. God, he doesn't want him on the show. So, you ever hear us talk about Trax? Or Trax, I guess, is the new Scaleface, maybe? I really still like Scaleface, too, but we don't really interact with so much with Scaleface anymore. We have interesting fans at Radio Free Cybertron, suffice it to say.
We have awesome fans.
We do have awesome fans. So, let's see here. Video demonstrating the flexibility of Revoltech Dark of the Moon Prime shows how many ways it can take faces. Let me pull that up. So... I don't normally show video during the show, but I'll load it up. I love taking faces. Skip ahead.
So does Optimus Prime, apparently.
Look at that. That's really nice looking.
Current Revoltechs apparently are extremely flexible.
What? Very posable? Wow, look at that. It is very posable.
Nice.
Wow, he puts my Rodimus or Hot Rod to shame.
I think anything puts Rodimus to shame.
Ah, that's not true.
Oh, sad.
Yeah, that is a face-taking machine. I want that.
Face-taking machine.
It's pretty insane. I mean,
that's fantastic. How much is this going to go for?
$60. Around $40, I think it was.
Not bad.
Dang, man.
I might actually buy that. I think I would rather have that than Ultimate Optimus Prime, and that's how sad that I am.
Nice.
So.
Well, it's cheaper than Ultimate Optimus. Right?
That's true, but it's a lot smaller than Ultimate Optimus. It's like the size of his thigh.
Yeah, well, I mean, that just makes it easier to fit into your overflowing collection room behind you.
That just makes it easier for it to sneak up on me in the middle of the night and take my face.
Okay. Well, yes, but at that size, it will take it much longer to actually take your face, so you
stand
a better chance
off.
Of waking up.
That's true. That's
it'll
true.
Be even
nice.
Worse.
Don't put your eye out, man.
Oh my god, he's taking my face.
Oh no, my face is being taken. What can I do? So, Robot Kingdom offers confirmation that Alternity Goldbug and Die Atlas, we've mentioned in the past, will not be remolded. So, they have pictures to reflect the final decos. So, sad trombone.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so, let's go ahead and do a sad trombone for that. There you go. Sad trombone. Dark of the Moon Cyberverse Guzzle is out and has been spotted in New York at a Walmart. I saw that. That's pretty cool. I would like to have that. So, I love XV writes our news typically, and I love this. Third party stuff if you need to pad out the news. Thank you, XV.
I figured that wouldn't really go very far.
Right.
So
TFC, TFC Hercules full form and names of the other limbs, Ridiform's Classics, Bumblebee replacement head. So I do want to see that. So, wow, that actually looks pretty
cool. They've got a Goldbug head, a bumper head, and a hubcap head. And it looks like each one's going to be produced in several colors to complement any of the various Bumblebee releases.
Okay, so we have the one that came out in Universe. We have the one that came out originally at retail. We have the one that was in the 2-pack. Was it a 3-pack? It was a 3-pack Bumblebee pack, wasn't it? And then what's the gold one? Is that the Hinkay?
Okay, better to just start from the beginning. There's the Classics one that came out in 2006.
Uh-huh.
There is the Walmart 3-pack version, which I think came out in 2007 to coincide with the movie.
Yeah.
There's the Hinkay one, which has the chrome engine intake on the hood, but is otherwise a similar color to the Classics one. There's the United one, which is the gold paint version.
Okay, so it's United. God, how
and then there's the Reveal the Shield one, which is the one with suspenders.
Yeah, I love Reveal the Shield, that version. I love that one.
It's a great color.
It's a great color. The fact that it's like the fifth version of this toy. And
it's the best one.
It's the best one. A lot of times, you know, that they'll go through like mold rot or something. And
I think they reconditioned it, honestly.
It's really nice. The plastic quality is good. It's easily the best version. So very
and
impressed
nobody wanted to buy it.
Yeah, I think about... Did I buy two?
Why'd you buy two?
It's awesome. I love that mold. I have that and Cliff Jumper that, of course, came out at retail. I love that mold.
But yes, there's plenty of Bumblebee releases out there if you can go and get the previous ones.
Here's.
So you can have one of each of these heads and still an original Bumblebee alongside.
So there's,
and not repeat releases between them.
There's Hercules. That's what, $600 when it's completed?
Yeah. And apparently it's going to be around
shipping.
It's been what, XV?
Going to be around 13 inches tall, we've heard, when it's all together.
So it's a little taller than the original Devastator.
It's like a head shorter than Unicron.
Really? Okay, so...
Well, Devastator was like 7 inches tall.
No, he was at least 10 or 11 inches tall.
No way.
No, you were a lot smaller than Kilby.
I've got one over there. I can just look at it.
Well, that's a knockoff, though, isn't it?
No, I've got the original over there, too.
Yeah, because the perspective is really fantastic when we're looking at it 10 feet away from your head.
Yeah, that's true.
Because at this angle, I can just...
On a screen this big.
On a screen this big. So back there, you can see that obviously... obviously...
Squish!
Primus
squish,
there is half the size of my head. See? Half the size of my head.
And that helps us how?
There you go. There you go.
Sheamus is half the size of Kilby's head. Let's see. Does the chat have anything to put in on this?
I don't think it's that small.
Well, it's not that big either.
It's certainly bigger than like the MicroMaster Devastator that came out.
Well, yeah, but that's like the size of a large Deluxe.
know. Yeah, but I mean, comparatively speaking, he's much, much, much larger than that. Again, that's the size of a large deluxe. He's at least four times the mass of that toy. At least. But not that that matters. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to the comic news so we know what that means. It is... I don't use this near enough.
It's now time for comic news with Amy Morgan.
Take it away, Amy.
That's just epic right there.
I love that.
I have to say.
I love that.
Okay, so Ongoing 24 is out today. Basically, the Autobots return to Cybertron and confront Galvatron, who's claimed the planet. He asks them to join him, and they say no. So Galvatron tells him, if you aren't with me, you're against me. They start to fight.
Sounds like that's reenacted behind you, right?
I know. It sounds so simple, but like at the same time, it has a little bit of a twist in the end, which I'm not going to reveal. So you'll have to check it out. It's very unexpected.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Definitely need to pick that up.
Yeah. That's pretty much it out in the comic news. You already talked about the AllSpark Almanac addendum. So other than that, there really isn't anything else. We'll find out in 2 weeks.
Fantastic.
Next chapter of ongoing. So, but yeah, brief and short to the point. So,
good
yay.
Deal. Awesome. John, anything going on in the chat so far this week?
Not really, buddy. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
It's the first time. Well, I mean, we talked. Okay, so nobody's got any of the Hercules toys yet. I think one person in chat is waiting on their delivery. And now we are talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Thundercats, and the Maddie Collector Lion Force Voltron.
I really want it, but can't spend that kind of money on it.
How much is it?
A lot.
Hundreds of dollars, I believe.
Also, Unicron Q in the chat walked out of Dark of the Moon.
Really? Walked out of Dark of the Moon. Wow.
Walked out after the swerve where Sentinel Prime goes bad.
The only movie I've ever walked out of was the Godzilla movie, the one that, not Godzilla 2000, not the American movie, but the one that came out around the same time. Was it Godzilla, not Godzilla Returns? Something, but it was around that time. It actually, because of the hype from the American version of Godzilla, and that is so cute, Amy.
Okay, you're gonna say I'm Optimus Prime. Go for it.
Mm. He's not gonna.
No, not now. He's like,
I'll say it. I'm Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime. Give me your face.
Wait, yeah. Optimus Prime became a pirate.
Yes, Arr. But yeah, that's the only movie I've ever walked out of. It was awful.
I'm Optimus Prime.
Yeah. Awesome. Right. Okay. Let's go ahead and jump to Crave Corner, and we'll be back right after this. This is Crave Corner for God. RFC is the week of August 24th, 2011. I'm Brian Kilby, not J.D. Church or Rob Springer.
I'm still Cole.
You're still Cole Sickler. I am the third stringer host of this segment, though. So, Cole, what's going on this week in Crave?
Yeah, we're trucking along. It's the summer of savings. So for the past 3 months, we've been doing a $5 cash back for new buyers. So that's winding down, summer savings in August. And then we're also running a seller contest this month. Top three places in terms of listings sold get 100, 75, and 50 to Amazon.com.
That's awesome.
For the first couple of times we ran the contest, we sort of had like the same names involved in the top.
I know what that's like.
Yeah, and those guys are still around, but we've got like four other people who are all in contention. It's a pretty close race this month. I'm pretty excited about it. And then we just got this week we're doing for featured listings. We're doing a double feature kind of alternators and vinyl tech. So we got the Japanese and American versions of those bad boys.
One thing that, and I think I mentioned this to you a long time ago, the thing I really like about Crave, it kind of gives a real-world sort of marketplace value to stuff. And that's what, it's a great resource for purchasing, but as far as, like, knowing, like, the going rate for things, it's just, I find it really interesting because I've been an observer of this sort of thing for 15 years now. And it's just, it's interesting. So, like Binal Tech and alternators, what are those going for at this point? Or, I mean, is it like have the scarcity of those gone to the point where they go for a lot, or something common, say like Silver Streak? I mean, what?
Yeah. So, off the top of my head, I'm pulling up some of the most recent ones right now. But typically, if they're sealed, they can be from anywhere for like 30 to 70.
Wow.
And then if they're open, usually kind of in like the 20 to 30 range. Like right now, Craig Chappelle, who's been a big seller with us, just sold a really nice open condition Meester, the white one, for $23.
Awesome. Meester. I love that.
Yeah. So if they're sealed, they can run upwards of 50. But if they're open but in good condition, they can be around like 20 to 30.
Have you seen a Mirage sell recently or something like that? So Mirage was the one that was probably the one that was hardest to find here in the U.S.
Right. I don't think so.
He was pretty scarce. I actually never saw that at retail.
Yeah, I don't believe we have. I don't off the top of my head, like definitely not within the past couple weeks. But I mean,
yeah.
We've been for almost a year, so it's possible.
Yeah, at this point, I really think that seeing one of those pop up, it's going to be like a white whale. It's going to be one of those things that you rarely see. But people who tend to have that tend to keep it.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
It's pretty sweet, though.
Yeah, no, I like them. I mean, I feel the most common comment I read from people who are saying they like the alternators and Binal Techs is that they always could trick friends who come over into thinking they're like regular model cars.
Oh yeah, totally.
It's like, no, it looks dope, and then it turns into a robot.
Yeah, that's totally true. Any sort of neat postings this week that just sort of struck out to you?
Yeah, there's a lot of pretty solid deals on the site right now. Like I see the Battle in Space Rodimus, all the accessories and pieces are there, just no instructions, open for $9.
Not bad.
I haven't seen that. Usually I see the Rodimus is up around $20.
Yeah.
If they're open in that range. So it's a pretty great deal. And then there's a masterpiece, a true exclusive masterpiece Rodimus Prime for $80 that's been getting some pretty nice price votes sealed.
I have yet to see that at retail.
Yeah. I've never seen one before until this listing popped up. It's pretty cool. what else we got? Yeah, I pulled up a bunch.
I'm still needing to pick up that Octopunch. I think I'll check later on to see if I can get an Octopunch. Really want that.
Oh, and then there's an $8 Cybertronian Megatron. Same thing, loose, complete with everything except for no instructions, and it looks like it's in incredible condition. And I haven't seen this guy go for $8 on the site either before. So
very
that's
cool.
A sweet deal.
Very cool. Yeah, it's really interesting following Crave on Twitter and being a fan on the Facebook page and just seeing that in my feed and just seeing the things that are posted and the prices that they go for. It's just really cool. I really love Crave. I really believe in what you guys do. And I really
appreciate that. We believe in what we're doing, too.
That's awesome. And, sooner or later, you really do need to do a G.I. Joe page. I really want to see that at some point.
The G.I. Joe fan page went live in preparation for, something today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Need to check that out.
Yeah, you might want to check that out.
Awesome. Okay, sweet. Cool. Well, thanks, Cole. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Can I just do a quick shout-out? If you got alternators and Binal Tech to sell, post them this week, and we'll be promoting those specifically in our Thursday newsletters and our weekend updates.
Yeah, I'd like to see what the ranges are on that.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's sort of an interesting time period for Transformers, that. Cool. Awesome. Thanks, Cole.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Awesome.
That
would have
been a great time to go back to the stream, wouldn't it?
Yes, it was a great time to go back to the stream.
Peter!
I still kind of fume because he was so, condescending, when he was telling us to, put our computers down and stuff. Like,
who was?
Savage.
When was that?
Oh.
We are live.
Now we're live.
Yeah, we've been live. Yeah. Yeah, well, we are now, so. There you go. Awesome. Fantastic.
We've been live as long as it has mattered, Peter.
Yes. We're talking about alternators. Don brings up the point that Swerve goes for a lot. I didn't even think about Swerve. I'm pretty sure I saw Swerve at retail several times. I never once saw Mirage anywhere, ever. I mean, I saw Mirage at BotCons and stuff like that, but nowhere else. So, yeah.
Hmm.
I say as I stroke my chin. Okay. So, wanted to mention our contest that we have going on now. We received these awesome... I'll put this up. Awesome Death Adder mice, gaming mice from Razer. Razer was nice enough to provide those to us. I love you. This is the best thing ever. This is Optimus Red. We're giving away... Nice. I'm keeping this. We're actually... sorry. We're giving away...
I'm giving away this, but I'm keeping
it. Yeah, we're giving away Bumblebee...
This, but I'm keeping the other one.
Bumblebee Yellow and Megatron Gray. And it's really simple.
Does it light up?
Yeah, it does. And it's super... It's a gaming mouse. It's highly sensitive so that you can go and aim better... Have faster response times and
better crotch shots.
Yeah, better crotch shots. But not being heavy into gaming, I do a lot of graphics and stuff. And a lot of times, you need something, super sensitive, so they can get like right. See how it just lights up randomly. I love that. You need something super sensitive so that you can do like graphical editing, where you can get down to the pixel level, or if you're doing some fine detail. And I've been using that for this for that, and it's been great. I really love it. So we're giving two of these away. Again, Bumblebee Yellow and Megatron Gray. To do it, you just have to tell us who your favorite Transformer is. It's really simple. What we're going to do is we'll announce the winner on the September 14th show, and we'll actually just go over some of the results. Probably do a blog post about it too. Just interested in what everyone thinks. It sort of gives us an idea of the cross section of the fans, and I'm really interested in just knowing what the general like zeitgeist is, what the everyone at any given time feels. Just email us at contact@tfradio.net or let us know on Facebook. We actually posted something on Facebook. You can just respond to it if you want. I also did that on Google+. Which just search for Radio Free Cybertron. We have Twitter @TF Radio, and heck, if you want to, you can tell us on YouTube. I'll keep track of that as well. Just respond to this episode, and just let me know what's your favorite Transformer. Simple as that.
Hey, Brian.
Yes.
Favorite Transformer.
Is it
not toy
character or either?
It could be any of it. So it can be your favorite toy. What's your favorite Transformer? Is it? Do you love it because the toy is great? The character is great. Either one or both. Yeah, I'm not picky. Just curious.
Cool. And yeah. What is it called again? Like, where can they pick these up? Like, if they decide that they
definitely
can't
you can
get
go.
It,
you can go to Razer. You can actually Amazon or anywhere, but I think it's Razer Online, I believe.
Razer Online.
It's a 3,500 dots per inch IR mouse. It's really nice. They retail for $60 each. I mean, it's pretty freaking phenomenal. So cool. giving
Razer,
them away.
Razer with an E.
I'll tell you, actually. Yeah. Razorzone.com.
Don't spell Razer the right way.
Yeah, Razer, R-A-Z-E-R, Razorzone.com. So, and awesome. you have until, again, September 14th-ish, and we'll announce that. So, sweet. So, let's see here. Next, we have, Transformers Prime. Again, did not air on the hub, so... Surprise.
Why do they keep doing this? I've been ranting about this all summer. They need to put the shows back to back. Now they're putting them back to back, and they're airing it on somebody else's network. Oh, man.
What's Canada? That doesn't make it. It doesn't make any sense.
They can't do both.
No.
Yeah, Canada doesn't count.
Canada doesn't count. Canada's not a real place.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
But this episode, actually, stuff happened in it.
Yeah, good stuff happened.
Yeah, it was a pretty good episode. It's not like the best thing of anything, it's not like, I don't think it's my favorite episode. I like Faster, Stronger a lot better. But, compared to TMI, which is the episode from 2 weeks ago that, again, didn't air in the U.S., it's a freaking masterpiece.
It's 3 weeks, not in the U.S.
Yeah, so...
Well, it won't air in the U.S. until...
September.
September.
The end of September.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
September 10th.
But
10 is just, yeah.
Let me new episode start on the hub again.
Let me quick put up our spoiler warning. So people watching live,
they're just waiting for, the fall season to start. Home. Right now, kids are out with their parents for their final brouhaha before they go back to school.
The spoiler glasses. My hat's over there. I'm not going to go get it. So, yeah, basically, what happened in this episode is Raph, he didn't die. I was I like Raph, but I was disappointed that he didn't die, honestly.
Actually,
Yeah, so basically, Raph gets injured when Bumblebee is attacked. Pisses Optimus Prime off. Optimus Prime just decides, screw it, I'm going to kill Megatron. And
that was the best part.
Yeah, that was the best part. And he actually goes and almost does it. So, yeah, the episodes, they're always a little... I'm getting rid of the spoiler warning. It gets on my nerves. So they're always. I have to look at it. You do too.
Don't you think that XV and John and Amy would get upset?
Well, it blinds them.
Blazoned on their forehead.
Yeah, it blinds them. They can't see past
That's
it.
All right.
They can't see past it. But yeah. So the episodes, Transformers Prime. They always throw in little homages to Transformers, little references. This week it was the Covenant of Primus. Optimus is quoting from that, and it's really interesting. Ratchet calls it basically superstition, and so on and so forth. So that's basically the impetus for Optimus deciding that something has to happen. They decide that Earth is probably screwed because that's what the Covenant said. So it's pretty cool. And I guess this is leading toward dun-dun-dun, Unicron showing up.
They laid that on thick.
They must have heard my rant where I said, no, it's not. It could be the Fallen. Like, no, it's
Unicron.
It totally
yeah.
is Unicron.
So,
yeah, they were pretty close.
I mean, I think this episode, it probably comes off better as being better than it is, because it's like, A, something happens, and B, it's pretty dramatic, and there's a lot of action involved, but the episode itself is kind of thin still compared to something like Beast Wars. But I like it. I like the show. I don't hate it. I think it's definitely in the middle, at the very least, as far as Transformers fiction is concerned. And this episode goes a long way to really improve the show overall too. So
that's a really good conflict. I mean, the fact that Raph gets hurt and time is ticking, and he doesn't die. Well, you wonder if he's going to, because they played it out so perfectly. And then, of course, the whole, any minute now, this alignment of the whatever, however many celestial spheres or whatever they mentioned at the very beginning starts. And then they, of course, sandwich the beginning, like Megatron is having these visions of stuff that's happening, and he sees the vision, and at the end you see exactly the vision comes to pass. It's like, oh wow. Yeah.
I thought it was kind of crazy, because they were like, they infected him with the dark energon, and then they're like, this is what was foretold. And I was like, it was? Because they didn't really talk about it in the beginning. They just kind of had,
well, that was the reactions of the other characters as well, too. It was like, oh, yeah, we've heard this age-old tale forever. It's not real. Blah, blah, blah.
But did they mention a kid, like, being, like...
Oh, the kids had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was just weird that it was like, oh, it was just a kid, and Megatron says, as it was foretold, or something. And I was like, it was? I don't remember that. So I guess it was definitely a not a hand-holding episode, I think. They were definitely, boosting up the IQ level a little bit in this one.
I guess one of my problems with the episode was that the whole subplot, I guess, with Raph is basically the same thing that we got with Bulkhead in TMI. Is he going to live? Is he going to die? Oh, he lives. Crap. I think it would really change the... I think in the first episode, of course, Cliffjumper dies. And that's supposed to set the tone for the show, like, hey, anything can happen. And so far, when we've had that, the possibility of something like that happening, it doesn't. So it's like, wow, they had one throwaway model that they used in the show, and they're not going to sacrifice another. Maybe that's a false, you know, paradigm, I guess. Maybe they,
yeah,
they can.
They have to kill somebody for us to be like, oh my gosh, you know?
No, well, I.
Yes.
If they're going to, if the whole episode, not this one, but if the episode, the crux of it is, well, this person is injured and they could die. And we've had that twice so far. And it's like, they really could die, but no, they don't. And
if they're going to do it, at least do it with Miko. I mean.
Oh, God.
You know, yeah. Raph doesn't deserve
to. I like Raph.
Well, besides, it's kind of obvious nobody's going to die because they're not voiced by The Rock.
Yeah, that's right. True. That's true. Very good. Very good. I agree. Okay, so yeah, this week's episode, not bad. Not really bad at all.
I bet next
week will
suck, though.
Because next week is the continuation of this week.
Are we going to get it? Is it going to come out?
No, it'll get canceled tomorrow.
I mean, is it going to air somewhere? Is it going to air in Canada? Do we know?
I don't know.
We probably won't know until the weekend.
It'll be in Canada.
Just show up on like Sunday night and look on YouTube, and if it's there, then you'll know.
Yeah, Trax will, you know, send me a message on Facebook saying that the episode's been posted. He's really cool like that.
Cool.
Awesome. Okay, so, hey, XV, what's going on today in history?
Stuff.
Really?
Fantastic. Yeah. XV on the spot. Go.
No, I'm on the spot. I got it written down.
New segment.
I'm just being a pain. On August 23rd, 2002, we had the U.S. premiere of Transformers Armada, when Cartoon Network aired the first three episodes in a special movie format. And as the last half hour began, we all cried a little inside as we saw what the art style was going to be like for most of the series.
Awesome.
Sad trombone.
Is it too late? Yeah, I'm on the wrong one. Sad trombone.
Nice.
I should have warned him of that earlier.
Yeah, you should have.
Also, on the.
There you go. Sad tuba.
On August 26th, you should wish Aaron Archer a happy birthday because he'll be turning 39.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome. For being 39, he has a great job. He's like freaking VP of Transformers.
Yeah. Of intellectual property development, I believe.
That's
He's
a great
got
job.
The longest name on the face of the planet. He's got the like the longest title. He's got. I think his name. I think his title was like Hasbro's brand IP development and creation head or something like that. It's
it should be creation face, so the Optimus can take it.
Yeah. Well, if you put head, then it makes sense, you know, a lot.
That's
easier.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, okay.
I think that happened in history this week.
He is the VP Creative Director, Brand Design IP Creation.
Wow.
Wow.
Nice.
I couldn't even if I wanted to.
Yeah. Nice, nice, nice.
Right.
Okay. So, topic this week. On the bus home, actually, I was thinking about what I would like to talk about. And it just occurred to me, there's all sorts of awesome Transformers merchandise available now when we were kids, that it really wasn't available. I mean, there was the occasional costume and voice changer and, you know, party supplies. But it's really, you know, now – that was only for a short period. Now, any time of day you can go to the store, any store, your grocery store, and find something Transformers-related, gummies, cake toppers, anything like that. And
Eggo waffles.
Yeah, Eggo waffles, which were great, actually. Just curious, what are some of your favorite merchandise? I'll start. I have several. And it's actually, now that I think of it, it's all Transformers animated related because I love animated. So, the Bumblebee, it's not an Easter basket. I guess it could be like an Easter basket / Halloween thing. I think it was for Easter. But it's a fuzzy Bumblebee head. People on the video can see this. I love this.
It's so adorable.
It's adorable. So that's one of my favorite things. Another item that I had, and I'll move the camera to me since XV is screwing up my video. It's now broken. I accidentally broke it. But there was this Transformers animated pencil box that was really cool. One side was the Autobot symbol, and on the reverse, Transformers animated logo. I love that. But my favorite of the non-book variety, these little bumblebee. And I found a pair of Optimus. I just don't have them with me. I don't have them. Bumblebee slippers.
Aww.
I love these.
Too bad they don't make them. They don't make them in size 13.
They need to make them in bigger sizes so the adults can play with them.
I love these.
Put them on our feet. I would have loved to have some like that.
So and of course, I think I'd be remiss without mentioning AllSpark Almanac. If you're talking Transformers guidebooks, it's easily the best. We all stand on the shoulders of giants, and it's not the first guidebook. There've been a lot of good ones. Cybertronian was great, and there's a lot of things that I'm certain was taken from that. The Ark, which is actually something that Jim and Bill worked on, was also great. But I think their crowning achievement so far has been AllSpark Almanac, and I'm really looking forward to the addendum coming up in the Collectors Club. So, guys, what are some of your favorite things? Like maybe the Transformers toothbrush or the voice changer, anything cool?
You know, I don't actually have it, but I always got a kick out of seeing in the store around Halloween the plush bumblebee head candy bucket. Because it's like somebody went and cut off the top of bumblebee.
You mean
head
this one that I just showed?
Well, I was disconnected at the time. Screw you.
Damn.
Smack.
I love it.
But no, I mean,
I think it's more of an Easter basket, isn't it?
Dice stuff.
I've enjoyed getting the clothes and stuff. That's kind of fun. I don't have anything to show, but the kids' shirts and stuff like that. I love putting animated stuff on my kids. The movie stuff is cool.
I'm really jealous. I'm really jealous about that, though. I mean, all of this stuff that I can get in adult size it's almost all G1, and the stuff I really wanted was all animated. And. Yeah. I have an animated book bag laying over there that I keep stuff in. I don't carry it with me because, of course, it's meant for a 7-year-old. But that's what sucks about it. I would freaking wear this.
Somebody's giving you this dirty look.
I would wear this if it was in my size, and that's how sad I am.
But wear those to work.
I would wear those to work. I would be escorted out.
Like casual Fridays, this slippers are yours.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's also awesome. Now walking them all the stores that aren't even Hot Topic. They have G1 stuff. And I mean that's pretty cool. But so what about you, Peter? Anything that has tickled your fancy merchandise wise recently or ever?
Right now, I don't have anything here to show off.
You don't have to show it off.
I do have these cool little thingies actually that I. It's been a while, but these click, they're like Pez dispensers.
Oh, yeah.
Those are awesome. Yeah.
I don't know where the Optimus Prime one went. It must have.
Was that included, in the Titan magazine, by chance? Because the Titan magazine included a lot of things like that.
These are available at Mass Retail. You can buy them at Mass Retail. They're like Pez ripoffs. They're called click candy dispensers.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. What about the lollipop? Motorized thing. That's the Optimus head, Megatron head thing.
See, those always. I used to have a Batman one when I was a kid, and that was messy.
Yeah.
Just like it was like sticky. It's like a ring pop kind of thing. It's just like ugh.
Oh yeah, Diecast brings up an interesting one. Do you think the USB Ravage and Cheetor and everything like that count?
Absolutely. I have the Ravage.
Yeah. Those are pretty cool.
I had the knockoff Ravage, too. The guy I got it from on Amazon was passing it off as an original, and I sent it back. And I'm like, dude, this is not an original. This is a knockoff. I was like, oh, I don't know how that happened. I will gladly refund you your money.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now, if it was like 16 gigs, I would have probably just kept it.
Well, they have an 8 gig knockoff Ravage now.
Really?
Yeah.
Those hit retail here in the U.S. Are they still available?
Did those ever actually hit retail?
No. They were supposed to be released at retail.
I know they were talking about, but I don't think it ever actually happened.
Really?
I never heard about it.
Those are great, though. Yeah, I mean, of course, any of those device label things are pretty cool. The Soundwave and Sound Blaster MP3 player, which I've never been able to get to work as an MP3 player, but I still love that. It's a great that actually should have been released as a toy, like in Generations, because it's about the right size, but it's too complex. I mean, gutting it, it would probably still go for at least $15 U.S. at retail. That darn Dex fee. John, in your vast collection of awesomeness, anything?
As far as merchandise goes, I think the one thing that I always like, and I've got a little bit of it, but not a lot of it, is the kids' birthday stuff. Because a kid's theme, hey, anybody, a Transformers theme birthday is awesome. So I always have a soft spot for the noisemakers and the napkins and the party hats with like Thundercracker on it, or now I think it's animated Bumblebee or movie Bumblebee. That stuff's awesome. Awesome. I think they do like cake kits and stuff like that now.
Yeah, they do. As a kid, did you happen to have the Optimus Prime costume?
I did not, sir. I did not. I couldn't pull it off.
He does have one now, though.
Let me actually pull this up, if I can find a picture that's safe for work. One of my favorite thing ever was a picture of Transformers pajamas from, I think it was the JCPenney catalog, maybe?
Sweet.
From the, I'm doing a Google. Here we go! I love this picture. This is like the best thing ever. Let me pull this over. This kid is probably like a porn star now.
What?
That's a big assumption, sir.
Yeah, big assumption.
That kid's awesome. But yeah.
Hey, Weapon X in the chat brings up a cool one. He got an ice cream cake from Dairy Queen
recently, awesome, or as a kid.
I don't know. Was it recently, Weapon X? That is awesome. Okay, he probably is a porn star.
Yeah, it is. That's great. There's lots of. Lots of great stuff. XV's restarting, so he's disappearing for a second. I mean, God, there's so much stuff that comes out now. Like, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen gummies, gummy vitamins. Not just the gummies. What? Actually, the General Mills gummies are delicious. The fruit-flavored snacks, phenomenal. Love those. Nothing else? Anything else, guys?
Well, I was going to mention, like, you know, it's cool that I've gone on, like, Etsy, which is, like, a place that...
Yeah,
like,
Etsy.
Been on Etsy. Oh, well, yeah, cool. People make handmade things, like, you know, notebooks and stuff like that. They have, like, animated stuff on it.
There's an awesome, like, Rodimus hoodie that I saw that I loved that I should have picked up.
Oh, yeah. Handmade stuff where people, you know, have just, like, you know, sewn their own clothes or whatever to make, you know, really cool stuff to sell that has Transformer stuff on it. It's not, like, you know, sanctioned by, like, Hasbro.
Oh, yeah.
But it's fan-made stuff. But, like, hey, some of that stuff is really well done. So
back in 2009, right after we started RFC back, I remember Rob and I were talking about Transformers costumes. And now you can get all sorts of awesome Transformers, actually G.I. Joe, anything like that, adult-sized costumes that look really good. So now you don't have to, like, relive the memories of wearing your underoos as a kid. You can actually, I never really thought about this, but underoos. What's the point in that? So you get to wear something that no one gets to see that has your favorite characters on it.
Whoa! Do not rip character underwear. Okay.
I think I'm wearing Simpsons underwear right now, actually, now that
exactly.
I think of it.
Exactly.
TMI, I know.
The good thing about little kids' underwear like that, at least from a mom's perspective, is when you're trying to get your kids to wear underwear, that's, like, the best thing to do. Because they don't wear, you know, it's easier to wear diapers and just wet in it and make everybody change your pants, you know?
But that's how I want to live my own, like, 60s, actually. 70s, yeah.
If you'd like to wear your favorite character, sometimes that's good motivation.
Actually, no, it's not Simpsons, it's Marvel Comics Venom. There you go. Fantastic. TMI from Brian. Awesome. Okay. So, hey, actually, Peter, before we jump to Twitter Theater, I wanted to ask, is there anything going on at T-Formers this week? Any cool news that popped up or any interviews or special reviews? Peter on the spot, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I didn't even hear you. I'm sorry.
That's a good tactic. You need to save
yes, them. I didn't hear you.
I thought you were talking to XV. I didn't hear you.
Now, anything on T-Formers, like reviews, interviews, or anything this week of note?
No, it's been it's a little bit of a slower week, unfortunately. Your favorite Rescue Bots is out.
Woohoo! Awesome.
That's starting to make its way through. Beast Wars 2 DVD art came out, so that's always fun.
It's very unimpressive.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
For $383, they better have given me, a 3D projection.
For that much, I want it on Laserdisc.
Ouch.
I saw that XV. I wasn't going to say what you thought I was going to say. You could get if you spend more than 3,000 yen in any Japanese store, you could get a silver-plated mech tech weapon.
Yeah, I saw that.
Maybe it won't cost $90, like at BotCon. When we went to BotCon, we saw that the pack was for $90 for the... Actually, those are harder to get than this one, though. So maybe this will only cost, $15, $20.
No.
Nah. Yeah. Okay.
Never.
No.
They never cost less than what you have to buy in stuff to get them in the first place.
So that's what, 3,000 yen is what?
Almost $40.
Ouch. $30. 3,000 yen?
Almost $40.
Is it?
Now,
yeah, these days, right?
Yeah.
Didn't it used to be 100 yen? It's down to $80 a yen. It's 80 yen per dollar, is it now? Is it now?
I don't know. The finer points of the Japanese to American, exchange rate is probably not important. So, yes, awesome. Good deal. We love we are the official podcast of tformers.com. We love T-Formers. We always tell people if you want news, that's where you need to go, because that's where you're going to get it. That should be the new T-Formers slogan. If you want news, this place to go, because that's where you're going to get it.
Get it here.
So let's go ahead and jump to Twitter Theater, and we'll be back after this.
This is Twitter Theater.
Hey, guys, it's Rob. Who's ready for this week's Twitter Theater? This week I decided to play a little Trivia Pursuit with you guys. As you guys noticed, this week's Twitter Theater was the trailer to Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood. And about a couple of you was like, okay, has this got anything to do with the Transformers? Well, it does. Some of you may notice, and I've known this for quite some time now, because I picked it out when I was a kid. While she's not in the trailer very heavily, one of the stars of Friday 13 Part 7 would be Sue Blue, the voice of RC and Transmutate, as well as voice director on Beast Wars and Animated. Sue Blue does live action acting and Friday 13th. Basically, she plays Tina's mom, the young psychic girl who battles Jason in this movie. I noticed this when this movie came out. Of course, I had to wait till it was on HBO till I could see it, because my parents didn't want me seeing these things. Good luck there. And I knew I recognized the voice. I knew I recognized Tina. I was like, I just knew she sounded familiar, and I couldn't place it. I got a text message. This was after the Rebirth. So I think she might have filmed this after doing the Rebirth, or somewhere around the same time. As these movies didn't take but about 6 weeks to 2 months to film. The hardest part was really the special effects. And it's probably about the same time. And, as a kid, I was just like, why does she sound so familiar? And it kept on. And then, upon the 90s, when getting the internet, bingo bamo. Looking at Friday 13 information, Sue Blue. You know, I guess that didn't occur to me to look at the credits, but, you know, yep. It's RC is in Friday the 13th, Part 7. Another fun fact about Friday the 13th, Part 7, if in case you wonder why there's a psychic little girl battling Jason, is because that movie's originally intended to be the first Freddy vs. Jason movie. And it all fell through, and they salvaged what they could into, from Freddy vs. Jason to a psychic teenage girl fighting Jason. But, yeah, RC plays Tina's mom. She starts, you know, at the beginning, you know, when Tina's a little girl, her parents are having a fight or whatever in the cabin. We're on a vacation time. You know, thanks for ruining vacation, Dad. And they, apparently he slaps her mom or something, and Tina comes running out of the house crying. And, of course, the parents chasing her, Tina, I'm sorry. And she uses her psychic powers to kill her dad. Oh wait, it's a spoiler alert. It's like a 20-year-old movie. You know what? F you spoilers. I'm gonna spoil. And you know, years later, she's a teenager and she's just disturbed. So disturbed, she's gonna be in a metal band because I'm disturbed. And yeah, seriously. Whenever that I'm crazy meme leaves heavy metal, I'll be happy. That's all we need is a bunch of fat teenagers trying to pretend to be crazy. But my head is huge in this video. Look at that. It's like Bonk the Caveman. Anyway, so it's years later, you know, Tina's mom takes Tina back to the camp because her psychiatrist thinks it'd be good to her for her. And, of course, the psychiatrist played by Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's. And he's a rat bastard. Anyway, Tina's mom, there's a lot of back and forth. And toward the last act or so, Tina's mom gets killed by Jason because Bernie holds her in front of Jason, in front of him to protect himself from Jason. He gets killed anyway, don't worry. And she gets killed. And he gets killed with a weed eater. Like, you know how you can take a weed eater and put a... Why am I showing you one? You put a saw blade on a weed eater to cut small trees or whatever. Jason's got one of those and he kills RC with a weed eater. And then later Tina sees a psychic vision of her mom dying and Jason's like, dabbing her and cold strangling her. It's like, man, RC is getting really rough in this movie. Yeah. But that's the... them's the facts, kids. So, this week's trivia edition. Maybe I'm in the mood for Halloween. I am in the mood for Halloween. And I found a way to sneak it in early. But if you guys want to watch Friday 13 Part 7, Lord knows, in October, it'll probably get played about 1,000 times somewhere on cable. Check it out. There's RC, our own Sue Blue, in Friday 13, Part 7, as Tina's mom. Well, that was Twitter Theater this week, and I'll see you guys next week. Sorry I couldn't be on the show this week, guys, but I'm well enough to work. I'm still damaged, but I can hobble. So, see you guys next week. Bye.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages. You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Hello there and welcome to the Nerd Sphere. I'm your host, Brian Gilbert. With me today, this isn't working.
I'm the dang old JD Church, goddamn, come on.
I'm the other American co-host.
It's me. The other one.
Yeah, that failed miserably. And this is the last time you'll ever hear us on Radio Free Cybertron.
Ever.
Please have us back.
Ever. We're sorry.
Don't understand and kill us.
It was all his idea.
You've heard about that J.D. Church. And his Zeppelins.
I got me some Zeppelins. They're crazy.
We are the Old Oil House.
If you haven't already guessed.
You are listening to us on Radio Free Cybertron. Because we're going to talk to you a little bit about the world's...
Go on,
Europe's... Birmingham's greatest Transformers convention.
And even then, that's up for debate with Rocklord according to who's down the road.
Well, yeah, there was the Hot Wheels convention last year.
This year was the convention of Rocklords. And I'm going to Rocklord convention next year. Screw Auto Assembly.
Screw you, Auto Assembly. I'm going to Rocklords Anonymous.
Powerful living rocks!
Rocklords Anonymous.
Do they roll?
Yeah, even the squat ones.
They're rocks that roll.
They rock and roll all day long. Sweet Susie.
Should we get to a point awesome. Before Kilby shoots us?
No, let's just keep talking for the next 20 minutes.
Okay.
Right, so, yes, we have been to Auto Assembly. We are now back from Auto Assembly. We have recovered ourselves and brought ourselves back to humanity. Or at least the closest approximation that we can get.
That's us.
We have toys.
It has many toys.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into the toys, I have a question. How did this year's Auto Assembly stack up to last year's? Because last year's was your first...
Mm-hmm.
Dear co-hosts.
Yeah.
My co-host, of course, being Stu.
It's me, it's Stu with Dark Ages.
And?
It's Chaos Envy.
So go on then. Tell us all about your feelings of this one compared to last year's.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think last year's was better.
I would be inclined to agree with that.
Yeah.
Not saying anything sort of bad about the convention, because, you know, still enjoyed myself, still had a lot of laughs with everyone and, you know, got some quality toys, but I don't know, just, I think you said it when we were on the way back, it just, something seemed off.
The atmosphere seemed not right.
Yeah, I think it was maybe because of the whole thing with we're not going back to that hotel or something.
Well, I mean... Well, let's face it, that hotel screwed us left, right and centre every chance they got.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to say this, we're not coming back to you and I'm never going to stay in your hotel again, you random bits of shit.
Yeah, the fact that, you know, they came out and started telling people, you know, oh, you've got to, you can't consume any drink that wasn't bought at the bar and all that kind of...
And then closed the bar at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, sack of douche. But let's not talk about the poop.
No, let's talk about the hotel.
Let us be the good things.
Stu.
Hello.
Go ahead. Your feelings of this year against last year.
I'm with Rob on this one. Wasn't as good as last year's. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was. Obviously, there was a bit of a thing going on that I won't go into.
No, we're not going to go into people's personal lives. Yeah.
And I'm not going to shout like the ruin it, but there was definitely that air of, oh, well, you know, we wish certain people were here.
Yes, very much so.
You know, be there. From the States themselves or from elsewhere.
You hear that, Church and Kilby? You hear that?
It wasn't them.
No.
But they should come anyway.
I think they should.
They should. Okay. We can put you up in Carlow for a couple of days before you go down. I have a spare room and a shed.
I have a shed.
See? Fine quality living.
I've got a cardboard box.
Yay! See? 4-star hotels for the Perriers. and a choice of locations. But wait, there's more. I'm not going to go down there. But no, it wasn't just that. There was definitely an atmosphere this year of something not being the usual.
Yeah, something didn't gel.
I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just because we'd blown the hotel off. I'm not sure. I don't know.
But a happier note, I want to know the highlight of the convention for you.
Ooh.
Well, stuff for you, Mr. Stew, because it rhymes.
I would say meeting Greg Berger, but I just kind of sort of clammed up and went, "Hi, can you sign the phone for me, please? Can you do this? Thank you." I just clammed up. I'd total utter starstruck. David Kay, same was a little bit as well. As ever with Auto Assembly, the highlight for me is the social.
Yes, very much.
It's not often I get to see Glenn and Timmy and everybody else in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always kind of cool.
Yeah,
I made a bunch of new friends as well.
Aye.
I made at least three or four new friends. Hooray!
Mr. Rob, your highlight. And it can't be that moment. You know which moment you mean. That moment. Oh, sorry, you were drugged. It's fine.
Wow!
Was that the night you sold my ass to Logan Blaze?
Yes, just to Logan Blaze. Nobody ran a train on you. It's fine.
No, Dom didn't pay twice.
What?
Only twice. I don't know, after checking my receipts.
Whoa, I only took two payments off. I'm moving on. Rob, highlights.
You took two, I took two?
Okay.
It's one of two for me.
Okay.
One being the interview that I did with Chris Carter.
Yes.
Because that was just really, really fun. Mm-hmm. And
you really came into your own with that thing.
Hopefully, it'll sound as good when it's been edited and out there.
Cheap plug.
And I think the other point would be Nick Roche sort of just bounding up to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just sat there doodling, and Nick Roche just all of a sudden jumped into like my peripheral vision. I looked around, and he was like, "Hi there." And he's just like, ah! It just the fact he saw me drawing, and he loves to watch people draw.
Mm-hmm.
So he just wanted to know what I was drawing and that. And he's just like, that is just bonkers.
I just have this horrible mental image of him because he loves to watch people draw because he thinks he's better than everyone. So he just sits there going, oh, I could draw that better than what it's been to me. That poop.
See, now I know that.
And off he runs in the night like a crazy.
Now
man.
I know that Roche likes to draw. Next year's AA will just be me, part of the pencils and a honey trap.
What are you drawing? You, my love.
It doesn't matter, because you've stood in the honey trap and now you can't escape. I own you now.
It was just quite...
Let's go play tea.
Anyway,
I'm sorry.
Crazy Nick Roche kidnapping plans aside.
I do hope he never listens to us, you know. Although saying that, I did have a 15-minute conversation with him about exactly what it is that his lawyers want me to do. And how far away I can be. Apparently, the problem with it was that because they didn't understand the difference between feet and inches, I have to say exactly 30 inches away from him at any point. So we measured it out and I stood in just the right place.
Wow!
We had quite a good conversation about that. Oh my god, that was funny.
What? When was that?
The Saturday night, I think. I was talking to him about... What was I originally talking to him about? Oh, I can't remember. There was beer involved. Oh, it's because Greg Berger told him to find me for mead. That's right.
What?
Berger told him that he'd had mead for the first time. Roche asked him where from.
There we go. Adam ruining the convention for everybody else by handing out mead.
Yeah, we're not going to go into exactly
actually,
what the mead
I want to change my favourite.
No,
let's not go down that
let's
path.
Not hit that path in any way, shape or form.
Oh no, come on.
Not down, but that's all I'm going to say.
That was awesome.
A full fucking pint in 4 seconds.
You're mine. No names. So yeah, everybody should come to Auto Assembly to drink Adam's drink.
To drink stuff brewed by monks.
Which, as we learned, you do not mess with.
No. God, no. Do not mess with honey-based drinks made by monks. Fuck you up, son. Anything else for highlights? Apart from introducing Greg Berger to Mead.
Attempting to get all of my purchases back on the train. All I'm going to say is suitcase plus two backpacks plus shopping bag full of Megazords. That was fun.
How were the trains getting back?
Fine, I had no problems. Neither did Dave. There was a little bit of issue with getting seats that I've reserved, but no, it was fine.
Because one thing I've always found about Come Back and Model Assembly is there must be some kind of festival or something on, because the trains always seem packed.
I think they're just busy no matter what.
It's packed with people with like suitcases and have festival smell.
What do you mean, that unwashed smell?
That unwashed smell of people who refuse to queue in toilets.
I think it was Sonisphere that weekend. But anyway, we're moving off the
place. Yes. Anyhow.
Ramble on our own time, not Radio Free Cybertron time.
We're taking over.
don't say those words.
This is the first step. Soon Radio Free Cybertron will become part of my empire. Anyhow. But first, Kill Me Will Stab Me. So... I think for me one of the greatest highlights of the weekend, apart from introducing Berger to Mead and having conversations with Roche and meeting David Wise, very very nice man.
He was particularly funny. I was waiting to get my stuff signed by him and somebody went, oh, I really like Crimsic, it's a really funny episode. They just looked at him and went, funny? He's suddenly made up of this mock rage. He's just like, that's my King Lear. This is a tragic character. With real issues. And he just, like, I was next line, just looked at me and went, funny, it's King Lear. And I just went, yes, it is, Mr. Wise. Yes, it is.
Didn't get much of a chance to speak to David Kaye, which was unfortunate.
Yeah, he was... He's recovering from laryngitis.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
We've always got to have one voice actor who isn't 100% idiot.
Even if there is one, we'll make sure he isn't.
Who was it last year?
It was Gary Chalk. Basically, when he wasn't signing and he wasn't in the bar briefly or wasn't eating, he was in his room.
Okay.
He was jet-lagged to hell and full of cold.
Because he was actually...
When he did go down the bar, oh, did he have fun?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Cinema.
In the grounds that he has lawyers.
We don't.
I was sworn to secrecy.
Don't we? Oh, hell. Damn, I've just screwed myself out of a load of work. Anything else?
Dealer room was awesome, as per usual.
Go to Auto Assembly, it's awesome.
Yeah. So if you go
and
to
buy order, us all a drink while you're there.
If you go to Auto Assembly and you in any way, shape or form attempt to rip off Toifu, I will hunt you down.
There's a bad one, actually.
Yeah. And yeah, we'll highlight a negative. Toifu, basically they're a sales table that's there every year. They buy up a whole bunch of good stuff, like name mint in box Megazords that I bought. And they basically sell it, and when they hit a certain point, they go, well, we've made all the money we've made to cover our costs. All goes to charity.
Yeah.
Some douchebag stole from them.
Yes.
And some douchebag shortchanged them. So if you're listening to this, you're a douche, the pair of you, and I hope that horrible things happen to you.
I'm hoping that King Grimmy happens to you. Because there's a man who's hunting. And another one, of course, is the Thunder Shreds. Some absolute rat bastard stole two cases of Fans Project Thunder Shreds. And I think if this guy is ever found, he's going to have a bit of a talking to from a lot of people.
But yeah. But
when you say talking to, are you meaning fist to face?
I think curb stomp is a good way of describing these.
Where people get curb stomped. No, that's a terrible way to put it.
That's true.
No, the event itself was fine. Everything ran about as smoothly as it usually does. It's about an hour behind.
Dave actually did do quite a good job of.
Oh, you did.
Dave did a very, very good job.
Kal-El Prime actually did a pretty good job emceeing. He has a natural, if slightly Geordie, voice for that kind of thing. I was gutted he didn't go, oh, man, it's Canny League, it's Greg Berger. But no, he did it like proper without his accent. It's fine.
With the amount of technical difficulties he had.
Mm.
Mr. Kal-El Prime ran that thing beautifully.
From that point, you were going to say, ran it into the ground.
No, he ran it beautifully.
Dave did a really good job.
The entire sequence of nothing's happening, and just
wait
having this
wait for it.
I'm so hoping that now sticks with him next year.
If he doesn't next year.
I hope he does.
I think they found a very good guy to take over from Dean.
We should mention about next year, because this is the one that we're going to try and get people to come to.
Yes.
G, D and Kilby and XV and Rob and everybody else.
Come on, Americans. Other Americans come.
Americans come. Next year there will be a charge of Americans.
Why don't you Americans come?
Yeah.
Now?
And you there. Yeah. I see you looking.
But not you.
Not you, not
you.
You
a strange glaze to your eyes, son.
And you put on some pants. But next year we're in a different hotel. We're in the Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the Paris.
No, we don't want to.
The Birmingham.
We really don't want to be in Paris Hilton. Oh, God.
Imagine what you'd catch.
Imagine what you'd see.
Ooh.
You weren't there, son. You didn't see it. Keep getting flashbacks.
But yeah, so we're at the Hilton. They've already announced two guests.
They have indeed. Take it away, Stu.
I've forgotten one of them already. I've forgotten his name. It's Michael Bell. That's the one. Who was Prowl, Swoop, Few of Rods and Sods. Raziel in the Soul Reaver Games. And Adam looks like he's about to explode if I don't mention somebody. Or somebody that he's done. Are we on to the next one? Next one that we all went mental for, and I could not hear what the guy said at the beginning of his video. Townsend Coleman! Yeah, we've got
Spoon! If that man is asked a single Transformers question the entire weekend, I will give out gold.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He voiced a Transformer? He voiced a Transformer?
I think so.
At some point, yeah, probably.
The man was Tick and Michelangelo.
And Sentinel Prime. How can we not forget it? King of douchebags, Sentinel Prime.
I'm sorry, when it comes to Townsend Coleman, the fact that he's in Transformers is a nice bonus.
To be honest, I just want to get a video of him doing the Sentinel voice, just going, "Hi, I'm Cybertron's biggest douche."
Just have the rod next to him. Being stroked.
Just going, "Aww."
But, aww.
But yeah, Townsend Coleman and Michael Bell, and plus there's going to be a third.
Yes. But we'll find out for quite some time.
Yeah, that'll be like last minute. It seems weird that they're announcing two now.
Yeah.
But they did actually...
3 to 4 guests? Yeah, who knows?
They did show that entire video of guests and say one of these people will be...
Those videos will be up on YouTube eventually because they do that. They always put those nice videos up. Especially like the guy who voiced Bumblebee's one. That was funny.
Yes.
Which is a good reason you should go on Amazon and buy his book. That was the gist of his whole video, was go on Amazon and buy his book. But yeah, one person in that video will be at Auto Assembly 2012. I know some people want it to be a certain somebody, but I'm not going into names.
No. So the script reading
was freaking awesome.
It was hilarious.
When it's on YouTube, you have to watch it. Yes, I nearly cried in that.
Yeah.
It was so funny. The yes off was...
Yeah, that got seedy, but I loved it.
For those who don't know, because some people who listen to this won't have been and seen it, you had David Kaye and Nick Roche both playing Beast Wars Megatron, because that's who Nick Roche has played over the years.
No, David Kaye was Beast Wars Megatron. Nick Roche was 10th anniversary Beast Wars Megatron.
Yes, that's the one, sorry.
Freaking genius.
So there was basically two Beast Wars Megatron. So at one point they had a duck off, which David K won because his was bigger.
Yes.
And then they had a yes off.
That was funny.
And then, of course, because Greg was there, we had two Grimlocks and a Dinobot.
The genius is, who, you, me, I am Dinobot.
No, you're not Dinobot.
No, you're not.
Who, you, me, Dinobot. I said, me, Grimlock. Oh, me, Grimlock!
Oh, God. It was the fact that he did the whole, me, Grimlock, King! Yeah. It's like, everyone just went mental at that point. And when he did the, me, Grimlock, badass!
Yeah. Oh, just like,
everyone was just like, ah!
Any words that came out of Greg Berger's mouth that weekend, most people went, yay!
When he was playing Jetfire / Skyfire.
It's just like, I'm Skyfire, or am I Jetfire?
He just kept getting it wrong.
But needless to say, watch it on YouTube when it comes out. Because they will post. They posted last year's and the years before.
Yeah, it was absolutely hilarious.
I nearly died when he just went, yes, but mine's bigger.
Yeah, that was...
And brilliant. That rubber duck signed went for, was it about 120 quid?
Went for a good amount of cash. Because that's the other good thing about Auto Assembly. Charity auctions, baby.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I never managed to bid for anything or get anything. Because by that point, I've spent my money. One year, I might just put some money aside and just go, charity auction.
Cool. That might be an idea, yes. Yes.
Stop it.
I mean, I can't. I really can't. Anything else, Rob? Anything springs to mind? First thing that comes to your mind right now, except that.
Sheer amount of beards that were there.
There is a lot of hairy men who go to Auto Assembly.
Wow, really? That's a really bad point for Auto Assembly.
Really? Is there going to be a beard off next year?
I hope not, because JD will win.
He will. We won't go into his name, his nickname.
Nope. Better not.
Nope.
Anyway, I'm trying to keep this on track as much as possible because it's not ours. We're just a bit of a show that is an hour show. So the people listening to this show won't be used to our ramblings of our show.
What?
Exactly.
So, Stu, come on.
Hello.
Anything else you want to throw out there?
It was a good event. The day, the 90% of the dealers were awesome.
The Death's Head panel was genius.
Take that. Go on. Take it and run with it.
That was... Oh, it was so funny. Just because, obviously, there was four people up there. There was Simon Furman, Simon Williams, Jason Cardi, and... what was the other guy's name?
Jeff Senior.
Jeff Senior, that was it. And they were up there. Jeff Senior was quite funny because a lot of the time he just... They had two microphones to share between the four of them. And every now and again, he'd just grab Simon Furman's microphone and go, yeah, what he said. the man, I don't know if that's just his style or what, but he looked...
Very deadpan.
He looked hungover half the time.
Well, apparently, whilst everyone else on that panel asked for water, he asked for Guinness.
Nice.
I like Jeff Senior. Jeff Senior is a bit of a man's man.
Well,
bit of a chuckle.
They were basically talking about you know, what they did with Death's Head and sort of like the direction they took him, and basically a lot of the questions were sort of stuff along the lines of, you know, what would you like to do with Death's Head, sort of if you were to get another series, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Simon Furman just wanted him to go through all the different Marvel characters. Sort of just jump between all the different characters of the Marvel Universe,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was quite a nice idea. You know, every week you have a different sort of like guest character.
Marvel team up starring Death's Head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either, you know, someone he's trying to kill or, you know, somebody's being hired by. There was talk of him, one thing they'd like to do is him sort of meeting up with Deadpool. And the idea being that they wouldn't be working side by side. They'd be trying to dupe each other out of a contract. So they'd constantly be spoiling it for each other.
That'd be awesome.
I think that would be an awesome sort of like, maybe just like 3 issues or something.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Small like run. I think that would be genius.
As long as they brought back MILF. MILF could be the organisation behind it all. I love MILF.
Take that out of context and run with it.
No, I'm being serious from the Taskmaster miniseries.
It's fine, we all believe you. Have we got anything else or can let these guys back to the show and the sensibleness?
Anybody got any final thoughts on AA 2011?
It was good, but people were missed.
Yes. Yeah, they're good into detail.
It was good, nice to buy some toys, and as Stu said earlier, it was just nice to meet up with everyone again.
And myself, it's the social aspect that brings me back year after year. This year I was very bad for the panels and whatnot.
Oh yeah, I didn't get any.
No. But that's not a huge problem for me. It seems a bit of a shame to have come all this way and not get to see these panels. But the reason I get to see them is I was too busy elsewhere with...
people that you don't always get to see.
Yeah, just busy catching up and chatting away with people. I mean, I'm not going to list people because this is just going to be too bloody long. But it was fantastic fun being able to meet up with these guys and sit and have a chat and have a laugh. And more cases than not, have a beer. A lot of money on beer this year. Anyhow,
yeah.
I think there's a reason why my kidneys hurt. But anyhow, so yes, we shall give you now back to your regularly scheduled programming. Thanks for listening, and you can find us at
www.oldoilhouse.co.uk.
That was the shameless plug. Oh, I've just realised something I was missing.
Go on.
Night, folks.
I thought I was going to get out of here.
Hang on, one last thought.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is there the Hot Rodimus, receiver,
mm-hmm.
We have to do this. Can all listeners of Radio Free Cybertron now start bugging them daily, weekly, hourly, nightly to drag their asses to Auto Assembly?
Yes.
We'd love to have you here, guys.
Come on. Come on, I'll put you up. Well, there's one of you up. So you'll put the other one up.
Yeah. All joking aside, we do have spare rooms.
Yes.
So you'd save a little bit on hotel bills. I think you're just going to enjoy the car/bus/train trip with us. That'd be fun.
I'm not always like this, you know.
He is.
Sometimes I'm worse.
Oh, that's a point.
Right, well, we'll give you right back now. Thank you very much for listening to us for the last 25 minutes and 38 seconds. Goodbye, farewell, so long.
And thanks for all the fish.
Since the dawn of time, the city of Bartropolis has been home to a race of highly adaptable robots. Each year, the Council selects a team of GoBots to protect and serve the planet which needs them most. This time, that planet is Earth. They chose the very best in Aerobot, the fastest in Speedbot, the strongest in Strongbot, the wildest in Beastbot, and the most clever in Buzzerbot.
Since Earth from a world far away, GoBots save the day.
Go, go, GoBots. Go, 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 GoBots.
A robot is what you see, but that's not all that it can be.
Go, go, GoBots.
Aerobot, Beastbot, and Speedbot go. They only change when you say so.
Go, go, GoBots.
When danger strikes, they rearrange.
1, 2, 3,
you've got the power to change.
Go, go, GoBots.
Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TFGN Mike, and Pecan Court Michael move on to Transformers Animated, coming June 26, 2011, Transformation Animation Podcast. 15 podcast episodes covering all 3 seasons of Transformers Animated and the awesome toy line as well. We will also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped this summer with the Geekcast Radio Network's next Transformers franchise podcast, Transformation Animation Podcast.
Decepticons, transform and rise up!
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
And we are back. Yes, indeed. Crazy. Go, 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 bots. Okay, so when I was... I mentioned this during the break there to the guys. During... while looking for that, I saw on YouTube where some guy was like, I was looking for the GoBots, not this crap. Like, what? That is like the most ironic thing I've ever heard.
The GoBots are like, what, 6 or 7 years old now?
It's maybe 7. I think 7 or 8.
They're still little kids.
Yeah, I think those were contemporary with Energon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
But yeah, so, yeah, a little ironic that someone wanted GoBots, Tonka GoBots, which I love the GoBots, admittedly, but
mentally,
yeah. I mean, here's Leader One. He's awesome. I love Leader One. But there you go. But yeah,
do you own any GoBots, Brian?
I own several now, but not as many as I need. So
The Super GoBots were really great.
Yeah, they were. I think everyone owns a Stax. I think everyone owns at least one Stax.
I don't.
Even if they, you probably do. You just don't know what it is. I think everybody. Because I look at it, I'm like, who is this again? I'm like, then I have to think. Oh wait, this is Stax. Because
I barely know what GoBots are.
GoBots are awesome.
GoBots are awesome.
I wasn't looking for this crap.
So. Let's see here. Anything, John, in the chat for the remainder of the show?
People want to see more of the GoBots.
Yeah, I do too, honestly. I'm going to torrent that series if I can find it. Great. So
there's only the one episode of it, right?
Was it one of the last VHS or one of the first DVD pack-ins?
It could have been a VHS as long ago as that was.
Yeah, because I remember Masters of the Universe, those episodes that were with the toys were VHS.
Yes, they were.
I still have those, some of those somewhere, where they just like shrink-wrapped the VHS tape to the... You can't even see the toy because of the tape that's on it. So, I know Transformers, I think, did some of the first DVDs. Did Armada or was it Energon that...
Cybertron had the pack-in DVDs.
Yeah, but they were definitely DVDs. G.I. Joe definitely did DVDs. So all that. Hey, real quick before we wrap up the show, wanted to remind everyone to go to tfradio.net/survey. It's our PodTrack survey. Basically, it's your way to help RFC for free. Doesn't cost anything. Just a couple minutes. If you love RFC and you want to give back, you know, this isn't free. It costs me millions and trillions of dollars. Actually, it has cost several thousand, I guess, at this point, maybe. So I don't want to say that too loudly.
But if he looks sidelong for his wife.
Yeah, that way. But yeah, so in an effort to sort of, you know, get an idea of what our audience looks like, we're just doing an advertising survey with PodTrack. So it's totally free, doesn't cost a thing, and it will help us, you know, help you by acquiring funds to do bigger and better things. And actually, XV should be pointing down.
No, I have to be different.
Yeah, okay, there you go. But tfradio.net/survey. So we appreciate your support. So that's it for Radio Free Cybertron this week. If you're watching live, tune in next, where we will have New Soundwave episode 94. What's the big topic on New Soundwave this week, John?
Couple things. The Super Nintendo turns 20. So we'll
That's awesome.
Wow. Oh, wow, nice. We are ancient.
Now that makes me feel old.
Yeah. 2 decades.
Okay. Finally, Peter.
It's like my grandparents had one of those. That makes me feel so ancient.
And then we'll also talk about an interesting article where now apparently only 10% of gamers actually finish games.
That's me now.
Down from even like 10 years ago.
That's me.
So we'll talk about
it. Wow. I used to finish everything, but now I finish nothing.
Now you can barely finish a podcast.
That's true.
Yeah, that's like a lifestyle. It's not about video games. We just don't finish anything.
That is very true. Okay, awesome. Fantastic. So I guess we'll be back next week for Radio Free Cybertron. If you're watching live, stay tuned for New Soundwave. It's awesome. We'll have a new Rob on. It'll be XV, John DeLuna, Peter, and new Rob. So, guys, till next week, thank you very much. Thank you all out there for watching. We appreciate it. And we love you.
Bye.
Really.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.